The thought the Lord gave me is as a deer. That's the song. Our devotion to God. The song is as a deer. I want you to sing it.
As the deer panteth for the water, so longeth after thee. You are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Thought was inspired from this song, and if you listen to the words, you hear the devotion the writer had toward God, and that title is as the deer, or as a deer. It's taken from Psalms 42:1. It says, as the hart, which is a deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, people before Jesus, a lot of people didn't have that, but David did. The scripture said that he was a man after God's own heart. A lot of times people were doing things, trying to live what the law said. The law says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not, and all this. But they didn't have, their heart wasn't toward God. And he sent his son to die on the cross to give us a different life, a life that's devoted to him, a life that's motivated by love for him, not the kind of relationship where, you know, if I do this, I know God is going to punish me. That wasn't good enough. He wanted us to have such a desire after him and such a relationship to him that what we did and what we do and what we don't do is motivated by our love for God. Amen. And so David, in this, or whoever wrote it, says, as the hart panteth after the water brook. You can imagine this deer just running, 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 and he's wanting to get to some water to be refreshed. He says, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. So, you know, I encourage people to give their heart to God. I encourage them to come to him and to repent of their sins and to be sorry for their sin. But it needs to go deeper than just, well, I ask God to forgive me, so I'm saved. Good, be saved. But now let's go farther. Let's be motivated. Let's, when I don't do something, I don't want to do it because I don't want to displease God. That's the kind of attitude and heart we need to have after God. And today I can tell you my motivation personally, my own personal experience with God is that I pant after God. I love him. When I decide whether I'm going to do something or not do it, it's, is this going to displease God? Is this going to please God? That's the motivation. Not, I have to do it because I want to go to heaven. Heaven is going to be full of people that love God. And we look in the scriptures, we see many that did love God, that were devoted to him. We need to be devoted to God. You know, I was devoted to my mother. And you heard me talk about it so much, you know I was devoted to her. I think about when I was little, young, and she would go and see the sick. I'd go with her. Somehow, I don't know how come I was the one that went, but I did. And I remember walking that street down, we lived on Oklahoma in Tulsa, right? The other street, I mean Norfolk, the other side street was Owasso, I think. And we'd be walking to go see a sick lady. So mother would be walking, and I was trying to walk in all her steps. It's just like that's how devoted I was. Well, we need to have that kind of devotion to God. If I say something that I feel like God was not pleased, it should hurt. It should make me feel like I don't want to do that again. It should make me so grieved that the next time I'm not going to say that. Or I'm not going to do that. So this is what devotion to God really means. And we want to have that kind of devotion to him. Let's go to Psalms 27 and read 4 and 5. I could quote it because it's my favorite. But I want you to read it.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
So if I am, that's good. So if I am devoted to the Lord, he's going to be the one thing. Think about it. What's the one thing that means the most to you? Is it to have a new car? To have a nice house? To have your friends like you? Sometimes we have things that we really want. But first, those things can come later, right? Or after. But when it says one thing, I could wrap it up if nothing else I could get in this life is my desire. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Think about it. Let that soak in. The one and only and most important thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It's not like you're going to sit in the chapel all day and do nothing, but dwelling in the house of the Lord, your mind, your life is just all centered around God, the house of the Lord. It's if I while I'm going to the store, my mind gets on God. I'm getting groceries, but I think, you know, we just came back from several trips. We saw so many beautiful sights. So nature, you could say, how great thou art. And so when you are doing these things, your mind goes to God. And that's what the one thing have I desired of the Lord. And he said, that will I seek after. Do you know the very most important thing to you is what you're going to seek after? You can tell me all day that I love God and God is number one. But if I see, or not me, somebody else see, that you're spending your time on this and that and the other, you don't even talk about God. It's just like you saving for Sunday. But all the rest of the week, I'm doing other things, talking about other things. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It says to behold the beauty of the Lord. There's so much beauty in God. If we could just think about it. You know, all of us are sitting here and we have experienced the beauty of God. Did you know that? He woke us up this morning. Wasn't that beautiful? When you open your eyes, you could see. You weren't blind. You could get up out of your bed and walk with your feet. That's the beauty of God. It's so much beauty in God. People spend so much time doing other things and looking at other things and watching movies and doing this. But what are you getting for God? Behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. Don't you know that if we have this devotion to God, God reciprocates it? He cares about us. You know, when I was listening to a message, and one brother was talking about God's care, and he said, all your hairs on your head are numbered. I know I've read that, I've heard it, but I never thought of it on the level he was saying. He cares so much that he know which hair fell out your head. Number 2,000? Oh, number 2,000 fell out her head. That's the kind of care God has for us. When we are devoted to him and we love him, he reciprocates that love and care for us. If I hurt my little finger, he cares. You ever thought of that? Remember we were talking in Sunday school about hitting your finger with the hammer? Don't you know he cares? He knows how you feel. That went all through her body. And he gives comfort. Oh, he gives help. It's wonderful to have this devotion to God. You know, sometimes you can be devoted to a friend. And that friend can let you down. They can turn on you. Have you ever had a friend turn on you? How does that feel? God will never turn on you. You can be devoted to him and you don't even have to worry about whether he's going to care about you back. Sometimes you feel like, you know, I wonder if I do, since I've done all these things, are they really going to care about me? Or you might find that I've just sacrificed and I've done this and I've done that, and they turn their back on me. They don't care. That is not what you get through God. So God wants us to have this devotion. This is why he sent Jesus, to get the relationship with him on a plane of love and care and trust. Let's go now to Psalm 91 and read 1 through 9. Okay, stop. See, that secret place is that place of devotion. You see, when you love God like this, he wraps his arms around you. And he puts you in a secret place. And he protects you. And he helps you. You know, in the story of Job, Job told the Lord, if you take, you got a hedge about him. And he did. You got a hedge about him. Job is serving you. Is he serving you for nothing? You have a hedge about him. You've been blessing him and all of these things. In other words, take that hedge around from him and he'll curse you to your face. But see, he didn't understand that there is a secret place. And Job was in that secret place. Did he curse him to his face? No. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we want to live in the secret place. If you want to be in that secret place, be devoted to God. Let him be number one. Let him be the most important. Not your buddies, not your, even family. We can love family. And I think that when you have this life of God like this, you even know how to love your family better. Read on, all the way to 9.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Stop just a minute. Isn't this a safe place? This place being with the Lord is safe. Sometimes you want a safe place. But I'll tell you, God is the best and the most safe place to be.
Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation.
What kind of relationship is this? This is a wonderful relationship. So it's not in vain. We put our all into God, everything. Be passionate about God. Do you know we're going to get it back? Read the next scripture we want to read is Psalms 18, 1 and 2.
I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower.
Do you see how that this relationship, this affection for God is founded on love? You know, I don't do things for God just because I have to do it. You know, a parent loves a child that loves to do what they say. I'll be honest, it kind of turns me off if I ask somebody to do something and they don't want to do it. I almost would rather them not even do it. Can you see what it looks like if the parent say, would you bring me a glass of water? And the child would go get the water and they give it to you. You almost don't want the water. It turns you off. So do you know people do God like that?
Yes.
He tells them something to do or not do, and they take an attitude. They, maybe not an attitude, but they don't want to do it. I will say, I've heard many people say, the Lord wanted me to preach. I don't want to preach. I think that whatever we do for God, we need to want to do it. If it's giving somebody a glass of water, if it's going and sitting with the person that's sick and being a comfort to them, what if it's making a meal for someone that needs food? Whatever we do, we need to do it because we want to do it and because we love God. Let's read Psalms 118:28-29.
Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
That's, you're mine. Sometimes, we'll have a discussion, for instance, and I'll say, I think I've told Samaya, you're mine. You're mine. I love her. Even when people turn her down, maybe she wants to do something, they turn her down. I feel something in there. It hurts, but I may not say it. I let them do it sometimes. Or I want to make up for it. I love her. Well, this is what he said. You're mine. You're my God. That's the kind of attitude and the devotion we need to have for God. You're mine. I'm yours and you're mine. I think Bertha said some one time that kind of on that order, like God is, you're mine. And so that's the way we need to have for the Lord. One of the young people, when we have young people's meeting, when he prays and he finishes prayer, he says something like, and I love you, or something like that. At the end of his prayer, we love you. Yes. Don't you think God want to hear, I love you? He loves us. We hear him say that. We know he does. But shouldn't we say, I love you? When we're praying, let's don't always just ask and beg and plead. That's good. But let's tell him, I love you, Lord. Let him feel, know that we're devoted to him. Let's go now. And we think, like I was saying, devotion starts with love, and it's genuine. You know, when you think of something genuine, it's for real. Now, I know that my mother knew I loved her, but one time I didn't do what she said. And so I probably was always the child that said, I love you. You know what? The hug. And that kind of child. But then when I didn't do what she said, she was not mean to me at all. I was playing and I fell on the rocks. And she told me not to jump rope. in the driveway, and the driveway was full of rocks, and I went jumping rope in the driveway full of rocks, and I fell. I have a scar that left. I'll probably take it to my grave from it. And I run in the house. I'm crying and bleeding, and she's washing my face, and she says, obedience is greater than sacrifice. Now you tell me you love me. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Oh, you know what? That has stayed with me all of my life. And so when we love the Lord, we love him, we're going to obey him, and we're going to do what he says do. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6 and 5. And we do it because we want to do it. That's our genuine devotion to him.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
I almost want you to slow down. Read that a little bit, but a little slower.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Starts with the heart, doesn't it?
Yes.
With all your heart. And then it goes a little farther. With all your soul and with all your might. You're going to put everything into it. Your love for God is going to make you do something for God. It's going to make you stop doing things that he doesn't want you to do. That's the love, the kind of love we need to have. I want to represent Christ wherever I go. Yesterday I was in the airport. And I sat down right here. I was sitting in one seat. There was a seat next to me empty. And the seat next to that had a woman with a dog. And I don't like being exposed to other people's dogs in the airport or on the airplane. And so I wasn't a happy camper. And somebody asked me something. I said, well, there's a person to, what are you seeing? Was that you? What are you seeing? And I said, well, there's a person with two seats from me with a dog. And so that was you laughing, but I don't remember who I was on the phone with. So anyway, I said, the lady got up later, and she, not right after that, but she got up and she left and never came back. And the Lord dealt with me. He did. He dealt with me. You know, I said to myself, I hope I didn't offend her. I don't think she heard me. But, you know, maybe my expression might have made her feel like it. And so I had to ask the Lord to forgive me. And I asked him to forgive me for the attitude. Then I told him, thank you for showing me myself. And so the next time that happened, I'll have a different attitude, right? This is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants this love that we have for him to go beyond just, it's going to spread out. It's going to spread in other ways. I remember, and I think I told you about one time, my mother had somebody that said something to me, it would be an insult. I know what they said. And she felt bad about it. So she goes to the lady and she apologizes to the lady for her attitude, for feeling bad. And I've never understood that. Because I always thought if anybody should have been saying something, it should have been the other lady who said something not too nice or kind of insult-like. But until I listened to a message, and this brother was telling how that something happened. This lady was doing something, his boss was doing something kind of against what he was representing. And he went to her and apologized for his attitude toward her, his feeling. And then I understood. Because God, we can't deal with what the other person is, but we have to deal with our own reactions to the other people. And so when we are devoted to God, he can work on our attitude. He can get right down where we have wrong attitude. Even if nobody else knows it, we know it's like between us and God. And he deals with that. Let's go to Psalms 31 and 23. Oh, love the Lord. When you give your heart to the Lord, you ask him to forgive you. You are saved. When you repent of your sins and you ask him to forgive you for your sin, he saves you and he changes you and you become a saint. Some people think that the saints are all dead. No. If you repent of your sin, I want you to listen to this. If you say to the Lord, please forgive me for my sin. Please come into my heart and make me a new person. He does that. And you are considered his saints. So that scripture says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. That's all those who have repented of their sins, all those that have Jesus in their heart, you become a saint. You need to love God. A saint loves God. You do what you do because of your love for God when you're a saint. Or you don't do what you shouldn't do because you love God. That's what a saint is. 1 Peter 1:6-8.
1 Peter 1:6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in evidence through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believe it, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Has any of us physically seen Christ? No. But we know him by faith and through the gospel that we have heard. So though we didn't see him, these brethren saw him face to face. But we love him. We love him. We don't have to see him physically, like I'm looking at you right here. But we know in our heart that he's there, and we love him. And this is what should motivate our relationship with him. Though we haven't seen him, we love him. We appreciate him. He's worthy of our appreciation. What he's done for us, no man and no one else has ever done. But he is faithful. And we should so love what he's done for us. I was in a conversation and I was thinking about how Jesus, the things that he suffered. And it broke my heart. I could barely talk about it. Thinking about the thorns that he had to go put on his brow, the shame that he went through. He went through so much shame. If those pictures are right, Brother Larry, I can't say they are, but you see pictures of Jesus on the cross. And it looks like they've taken all his clothes except a little strip or something. Don't you know that's shame? Yeah. Wouldn't you feel shame if people just took your clothes and they just gave you a little something to put around you?
I don't think he had anything.
Probably wasn't that. It could have been like that. And that's shame. And he went through all of that shame for us. And so we love him because of what he has done. 1 John 4:19.
If we love him because he first loved us.
That's it. We love him because he first loved us. That's why we're devoted to him. He poured his love out. You can't show any more love than what Jesus did. That's the limit. Jesus gave his life. He gave everything. He was willing. And you know what? Since I was talking to that person, I ran across a scripture that I didn't realize was there, where the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to happen to him, that he was going to be spit on and mocked. He told them that. And he knew when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, not my will, but thine be done. But he was saying, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, because he knew what he was facing. He knew they were going to spit in his face. How many of us could take somebody spitting in our face? That would be a place to be in. Even if they spit on your body anywhere, but in your face, that's worse. So he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Let's go to Colossians 3:17. So when we have this kind of love, it's going to make a difference in our lives. We're not going to be the same. Do you think that you could come to God and ask him to forgive you and give your heart to him, and then you have all this love and you can just go back and do everything like you always did? Curse. Be mean to people. Can you do that?
No, I'm going back to living in sin again.
You can't do it, can you?
No.
No, you cannot do it. It's because you recognize what he's done for you and you love him. You cannot do it. Some people have a habit of cursing. And so after they get saved, those words will come back to their mind when they're in a stressful situation, but they don't want to do it. They start saying, Lord, help me. It makes a change.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Everything we do from then on becomes to the glory of God. We don't want and we will not gladly do the things of the past. We want God to help us, and we do all we can to do that, to be different. We're not the same anymore. Well, I have lots more for us to read, but I'm going to close with Revelations 4:11.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
God is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our glory and honor. Because what does it say? Thou hast created all things. Say, read that again.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Yeah. So, when we are devoted to God, it's what we should be. He's worthy of it. He's done everything. He created us. He created us for his glory. He created us to worship him and to honor him and to praise him. Pray for me.